This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, a parade of arrests in Tokyo, Japan today, starting with Takafumi Horie, the brash young entrepreneur whose internet company's hiccup last week brought Japan's high-flying stock market crashing to a close. After a long decade of economic stagnation, the once unstoppable Japan has come steaming back. But the world has changed. China is the new Asian powerhouse gunning for global power. Longtime Japanese ally, the United States, is overstretched. Next door, North Korea looks nuclear-armed. And today, the one-time face of Japan's future is under arrest. But Japan is a survivor and then some. Up next, On Point, between the U.S. and China, the world according to Japan. Joining me now from Washington is Yuki Tatsumi, research fellow in East Asia program at the Henry L. Stimson Center in Washington, where she follows Japanese politics, security, and foreign policy. Yuki Tatsumi, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me here.
Also with us from London is Robert Ward. He's senior editor and economist in the Asia Department of the Economist Intelligence Unit, a global research firm affiliated with The Economist magazine. Robert Ward, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Tom. Nice to be with you.
Yuki Tatsumi, first to you. Describe for us the proximate cause of last week's big dive and then rebound and now again today trouble on the Japanese markets. Who is Takafumi Horie and why has the story around him been so affecting in Japan?
Well, first of all, Mr. Horie really has been a quite controversial business figure. He is quite young business executives. He has grown his business group through a very aggressive merger and acquisition practices, which is quite uncommon in the traditional Japanese business culture. And a combination of his relatively young age and his aggressive practice, his behavior has already caught media attention, and it has really heightened after he decided to run for the seat for the House of Representatives in the most recent election in Japan. Although he was not formally endorsed by the ruling Liberal Democratic Party, he certainly had their morale support, if you will, on his campaign.
So he is spiky-haired, 33 years old,
yes.
The CEO of Livedoor, the big Japanese
yes.
internet portal, and he's been very outspoken about criticizing Japan's old economic model, its old structures, said it's run by a club of old men. Robert Ward, why was Japan so vulnerable when there came questions about how Livedoor has been behaving? Why was the market so ready for a tumble?
Well, part of the reason is that, particularly since Mr. Horie became prominent in 2004-2005, he's become a real symbol of the new can-do Japan, particularly for younger investors. And these younger investors have been going to their internet cafes or at home on their PCs and doing trading on the stock market using their PCs, which is a really new wave of stock market investment for Japan. The problem has been, of course, that over the last 10 years or so, because the stock market has been fairly depressed, not much investment has been done in the stock market to keep pace with the way methods are changing.
Japanese citizens got burned in the 80s. We read they kept $10 trillion worth of cash stuffed essentially under their futons in the 90s.
That's right. But over the last couple of years, particularly thanks to Mr. Horie and his spiky hair, you forgot to mention the Ferrari.
The Ferrari,
and
okay.
the condominium in Roppongi Hills, which is one of Tokyo's glitziest areas.
Right.
Really total sort of maverick, iconoclast kind of business style, which has really caught the imaginations of the young. These young people have been investing in little trades, and when the Horie Livedoor story broke, they all tried to offload their shares at once, which effectively nearly brought the Tokyo Stock Exchange to a standstill.
Now, the alleged wrongdoing, and today we have his arrest plus the arrest of three or four other 30-something managers in Livedoor, was that they were booking revenue connected with a merger or the financing connected with a merger in such a way as to pump up their own financial profile beyond what it deserved.
Yes, I mean, they were cooking the books, but, I mean, that's nothing new in corporate Japan. I mean, this is a sort of feature, particularly over the last 10 years. Lots of things have come out. What's special about this story is the fact that this man became this symbol of the new Japan. Not just that, but also he was used quite openly by the politicians, the Prime Minister, Mr. Koizumi, for example, as Yuki mentioned, tried to co-opt him into his election campaign. So he was a real symbol of a new Japan, if you like. And so this fall has been all the more astonishing and upsetting for those that put their faith in what they thought was a new beginning.
Yuki Tatsumi, for American investors who have been paying close attention, this is a story of a market fall. Lots of American money has poured into Japan in the last few years as its market has come back. But for many more Americans, I'm guessing this also highlights how far Japan did fall before this comeback. I mean, the last time it was very prominent in the news in the 80s, it was just golden. It was booming on all fronts. What happened in the 1990s? Why did Japan fall into such a long funk?
Many Japanese corporations, both particularly large corporations, they couldn't quite catch up with the trend in the global economy in terms of what the globalization of the international economy means to their business practices. And the second point is that Japan always has been unfavorable to the unfavorable environment to the small and medium-sized enterprises, and particularly for startup types of businesses. Mm-hmm. And that really had a huge impact when the Japanese economy indicators began to go down, as you just mentioned. Instinct of the Japanese public was to stuff their cash under their futons and their mattresses, mm-hmm. and so forth, rather mm-hmm. than try to continue to circulate the currency. So that really had the deep impact, I would say.
And Robert Ward, when we see this news, we look at Japan, we see what's happened in the market in the last week. It's very dramatic. And it brings into high relief Japan's overall situation. Here it is now in the decade and more since it was riding so high. The world has changed, much more globalized economy. China surging to the fore, and by most accounts, likely to surpass Japan sometime in this century, perhaps, in the size of its economy. The U.S. overstretched. Where does that leave Japan looking for its anchor, for its certainty these days? What's the sort of very big picture of Japan in that changing global calculus?
Well, Japan's in a bit of a difficult position. On the one hand, its economy is recovering, things looking better than they have done for a whole decade. The reason for that is almost entirely due to China, particularly Japan's exports to China have really helped to lift Japan out of its malaise. Deflation's ending and the banking system's back up on its feet. There's even talk of labour shortage because there's not enough people to fill the jobs in Japan. So on the one side, China's been a real boon to Japan. I would argue the best thing for the Japanese economy perhaps since the Korean War in the early 1950s. But on the other side, Japan has almost no friends in Asia. In fact, it's got there are a number of countries that see Japan as an enemy, and not least among those, of course, is China, which has its own, along with Korea, its own memories of what happened in the Second World War, the atrocities committed by the Japanese Imperial Army in China during the Second World War, and Japan's, ambiguous sort of response to that in the years after the Second World War. So on the one side, Japan really needs China to keep its economy going. But on the other side, China is actually quite a big threat. China has no fondness for Japan. China's also building up its military as fast as it can. We don't actually know how much money it's spending on its military because a lot of the money is hidden. China's a nuclear power. Japan, which was the preeminent economic power, obviously, in Asia for a long, long time, that is slowly eroding. As you say, China will overtake Japan in terms of the size of its economy in the next few years. So Japan's in a pretty difficult position at the moment.
Yuki Tatsumi, do we see as a result the kind of parting of ways between Japan's business interests and its national security interests, or the communities in Japan that follow those two? Are businessmen and national security people of mixed minds about China?
I think a business community, by and large, are are inclined toward the deepening its economic relationship with China. As Mr. Ward pointed out, one of the biggest reasons why Japan was managed to pull itself out of its slow economy is because of its booming export to China. And then also there has been a lot of relocation of the production facilities and so forth out to China as well. So on one hand, China actually did play a very important role in terms of Japanese economic recovery. But at the same time, as you pointed out, the national security community in Japan rather watches China with wary eyes.
Yuki Tatsumi in Washington, thank you very much for being with us this hour. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Me.
Robert Ward in London at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Thank you, Mr. Ward, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thank you.